If you're saved and you know it, say amen. I thought of something Brother A.C. Bates used to say. I don't know if you ever knew of him or saw him old time. About 6 foot three or four, weighed about 150 or 60 pounds. Loved God with every inch of himself. He'd stand up and say, "Well, I'm glad I'm out of hell and jail in Russia." And when he was talking about the nursing home, I thought I'd add that. I'm glad I'm out of the nursing home this evening. Praise God. Turn with me to the book of John, if you will. The 7th chapter. We don't preach as much as we used to since we retired. I know I don't look old enough to be retired, but I am. You can retire from pastoring, but you can't retire from the ministry. Thank God for that. And I want you to know that I still struggle with not pastoring. Sometimes I feel like that old guy used to say on the radio, I feel so unnecessary. And that's kind of the way I feel most of the time, kindly unnecessary. But I'm thankful that the Lord's still alive. Aren't you? Amen. The Lord's still alive. Praise God. Amen. I don't mean to be rude or callous this evening, but I sense in my spirit that you need revival. I sense in my spirit that this church needs a uprooting. Uh-oh. The church needs plowing. Come on now. The church needs that fallow ground broken up and stirred up. Because if the fallow ground doesn't get broken up, then after a while things begin to grow that doesn't belong there. Huh? But when you plow it up, I remember in West Texas we used to deep break. 24 to 36 inches, and every once in a while on that old sandy ground, you'd turn up some clay. And oh, that was a sight to behold. But brother, the next crop that they planted, it would be better than the last one. Why? Because they turned the undersoil up. My, I hope the Holy Ghost can turn the undersoil up tonight, and we can get exposed to something that God wants us to have. I hope that you recognize and that you know in your heart, other than just saying it, that your church needs revival in the Holy Ghost. I'm not the one to bring it, but I serve the God that sends revival in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. John, the 7th chapter, verse 24. You're going to have to listen close, okay? If you have your Bibles, you're going to have to read along to get this. No, I'm not saying that you're ignorant people by any means. I feel like one preacher said, instead of Paul saying, I'm the least, he said, if I'd have been writing that, I'd have said, I'm the most ignorant of them all. Judge not according to appearance. We all get a slap in the face there, don't we? But judge righteous judgment. I told you you'd have to listen close to get what the Scripture said here. Judge not according to appearance. I don't know what's in your heart this evening. I don't know the life that you live. That companion sitting with you may know the life that you live. They may know how you're contrary. They may know what to say and what not to say in your presence and to keep things on an even keel. I don't know those things. I cannot afford to judge you by what I see in you. But there's something about the Spirit of God in me this evening that I'm judging, and I'm feeling a spirit that God is saying that we need to stand up in unity and condemn the spirit and the power of darkness that wants to destroy First Assembly of God and have a Holy Ghost revival. I sense that. You might say, well, you've just been talking. You've just been listening. Yes, I've been talking to God. I've been hearing the Spirit speaking. And the Spirit tells me that we're not to judge according to how we appear and what people see. They're not to judge by. But He said, but judge righteous judgment. Right. appearances can be deceiving. And I'm just giving you an introduction here, okay? It's been a while since I preached. I told my wife I may preach a long time tonight. Appearances can be deceiving. And some people may say, well, how so? Because flesh judges what it sees. Flesh judges what it hears. But a righteous judgment is that of the Spirit of God. Come on now, it's that of the Spirit of God. I therefore cannot point a finger at any of you this evening because I don't know you. I can't condemn you. And beside that, the Scripture tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now, you might say, I thought that meant that we were righteous in the eyes of God. Oh, in the last church we were pastoring, I was praying one morning and pacing back and forth in front of the platform, and God spoke to me with that Scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And the Lord just stopped me in the midst of my prayer and said, do you know what I'm saying? And I had to say, not really. Not really, God. I don't know what you're saying to me. And God said to me, as plain as I say to you this evening, that there should be no spirit of condemnation in the heart of my people toward anyone. We had just been elected in that church. Hadn't been there very long. I didn't know anything about the church. I went to a little country church, and I thought that they were people. Boy, I thought I was in the spot. I was sitting on the lake, and I could look out my back door and see lake that had 2,800 acres of water. Lake Fork in Alba, Texas. Oh, I tell you, it was the ideal spot. But it wasn't long till God began to reveal. See, I didn't see it with my eye, but the Spirit of God began to reveal me. That was one of the first times God had spoke to me about the condition of that church. I got up that Sunday morning and I used that Scripture about the condemnation, and I said, wait a minute, I'm not going to preach it like you think I am. I'm going to tell you, you have no right to condemn anybody, and if you're righteous, if I'm righteous, we have no condemnation in our heart toward our brother and sister in Christ. Can you shout amen? You're not as excited about this as I am, I can tell already. But I'm going to preach it anyway. Amen. I'm going to preach it anyway. Things that we see are not as they appear. Flesh would say to you, maybe about me or someone else, he doesn't look like one of us. As a matter of fact, today I was introduced as a man from a foreign country. Just because I'm from the neighboring state of Texas. We went to Pennsylvania. I have a cousin that pastors up there. We went to Pennsylvania. And I knew real fast that I was among people that didn't talk like I talked. They would, their mouth would drop when they heard me speak. Where is this guy from? What tree did he fall out of on his head? They judge me as being a hillbilly. I may be, that's quite all right. They judge me as being someone from the deep south, which I am. But just because there's a difference in the brogue that we use, we're still the people of God. And there is no condemnation. Can you shout about it tonight? Judge not according to the appearance. Don't look at your brother and your sister and say, because they are, they have and have not. But let's look at each other through the eyes of God and say, I'm glad to call you my sister. I'm glad to call you my brother because I'm born again and it's like a fire shut up inside of me. I want to see revival, don't you? Glory. I told some people not long ago, I'm tired of hearing about revival down the road. Come on. I'm tired, and I don't mean anything bad about it, but I got tired of hearing about revival in Brownsville Assembly of God in Florida.
I got tired of hearing pastors fastening the church after Brownsville Assembly of God, taking clocks off the wall, moving pulpits and this and that and the other. Brother, that's not revival. We're taking on the appearance of revival, but we're not having revival. The Spirit of God says it's not the fleshly look, it's the spiritual walk. Huh? Some people can talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. And this is what he's saying. And you remember that old saying, if you walk right, you'll spit white. Not only that, you smoke no more. Glory to God, glory to God. I'll say that if I want to. This is Assembly of God Church. You might say, well, you're just a little too far back for me. Then catch up with me. Regardless, listen to this, regardless how we appear to the world, we're going to be judged by the world. The world is going to look at you. Listen to me. The world is going to look at this church and say, I know what goes on down there. I know what's happening in that church. And I don't want a part of that. But brother, you get revival going and something stirring and motivating people. And they'll say, I thought I knew those people. I need to go down there and see what's going on. And they find out, are you listening to me? They find out you have fire in the altars. You have fire in the pulpit. You have fire in the church. Used to be a church sign in Alpena, Arkansas. I don't know if you know that's where that's at or not. We came through it the other day. And I used to tell my wife when I was driving the truck, I went by that place every week. And they had a sign out on, they had some letters out on the marquee. And it was, someone called 911, this place is on fire. But aren't you glad it's something that the world can't put out? They're going to judge us, and that's quite all right. But let them judge, Pastor. I'm destined for victory. I'm destined for success. I'm destined for revival in the Holy Ghost tonight, and there's nothing that their condemnation can do about it. Shout amen again. Glory. Introduction. Turn to 2 Corinthians. You thought I was kidding you. 2 Corinthians. 5th chapter. You know this scripture. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all, A-double-L, your heart changed, your mind changed. Your speech changed. You curse no more. You don't condemn anymore. Why? Because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All those things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. I don't know about you this evening, but there's times in my life, and I believe tonight is one of them, that I need a renewing in the Spirit of God. There are times when I need to get in the presence of God and say, God, rekindle the fire. Make me that new creature that you want to be. that you want me to be in Christ Jesus. Destined for victory. You know, I wanted to use the word destined for success, but I was afraid you'd misunderstand me. Because this word success is kicked around in churches until it doesn't mean what they say it means. So I'm not destined for success because I'm destined for nothing in this life. But I'm destined for victory, and victory's in heaven for you and I. Can you shout amen? Paul, who was formerly known as Saul, his education, his personality, his abilities, and all these things had him to stand out from the rest of the crowd. If you know anything about him, when he was a young man, he was very wise. He was very educated. One of the best teachers of all times, he sat under his teaching. And he left there with the idea that if I can get rid of these Christians. I had one man come to me one time and said, Brother Sheffield, if we could just get that certain old man out of this church. I may be preaching to somebody that's done the same thing. Am I preaching to you? If we can just get this old man out of this church would grow. And he had the best of intentions. He said, Brother Sheffield, I think what we ought to do is just dismiss him. And I said, wait a minute, brother, wait a minute. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about here? We're talking about a man that's here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. A man that has had a ministry in the past that built churches and the assemblies of God. A man that would do anything that I ask him to do at any time. You're talking to me about kicking a man out that is my blessing, that is my help. I looked him in the eye and called him by name. I said, I'm sorry. God didn't send me here to kick people out, but he sent me here to get people in. Oh, now that may have to soak in. Come on. But God sent me here through the anointing of Christ to rescue the perishing and to care for the dying. But on the other hand, I don't have time for dead weights. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You're destined for victory in God because all the old things of your life have passed away. Everything has become new in your life. You're a new creature. And listen, that can be renewed in an altar service tonight. You can leave here a new creature in Christ Jesus. You might say, but I'm living for God. But you can live closer to God. You can be a new creature. Is that what you want to be? A new creature in Christ Jesus. That the Spirit of God can stir us. The Spirit of God can and will anoint us. Oh, he was destined for success because the religious leaders loved him. They loved Saul because he could go into any little town. He could kick Christians around. He could beat them. He could put them in prison. He could close their churches. The church feared him. But God wasn't afraid of Saul. Because on the Damascus Road, he met God face to face one day. That light shined about him. Someone said, what is that light? Well, that's not hard to figure out. It's the presence of God. The presence of God just shone on that road that day. And Saul said, Lord, who art thou? Let me tell you, when you come in contact with God, you become a new creature and you know who God is in your life. He changed. He's no longer the persecutor of the church, but he's the uplifter of the church. The religious leaders didn't understand him when he became Paul. They didn't understand the Saul of Tarsus becoming Paul. The church won't understand. Listen to me, backslidden people won't understand you. Cold and indifferent Christians won't understand you when you become a new creature, when you start laying things off. Taking habits off, laying off this and that, and taking up a cross and following Christ. They're not going to understand you, but you're destined to victory in Jesus today. Somebody said, I fear the church is losing so that we may not last till Jesus comes. Well, there's nothing but the devil himself would make such a statement. Why do I believe that? Because Jesus looked Brother Peter in the eye one day. He didn't say it this way, but this is Sheffield. I got news for you, boy. Upon this rock. Talking about itself. On this rock, I'll build my church. Amen! And the gates of hell, its very self, will not be able to come up against it. It'll be a glorious church. It will not have a spot or a wrinkle in it, but it'll be alive and vibrant. I will destine my church to victory. Yeah. Hallelujah. My, no wonder the Lord changed my message right at the last moment today. I haven't been preaching that long, don't you tell me. A change occurred. And a change needs to occur today. Come on. You might say, sure, that world out there needs to get saved. No, I'm talking about the church. The church needs a change. Can you shout amen? The church needs a tilling. That's why your pastor preaches the kind of messages that he preached like he preached Sunday night. He's tearing up the soil underneath that you can get rooted and grounded in something that will cause you to realize you're destined for victory. In Christ Jesus, you're a new creature. That's why you can't afford to look at the appearance of your brother and sister in the Lord. That's why you have to judge them in the Spirit of God with righteous judgment. Have you ever met someone or knew someone that you just knew their personality, their demeanor, their whatever? They were destined to be something or someone great. You met anyone like that? Our oldest daughter, her first husband, was one of the sharpest young minds that I ever conversed with in my life. Stationed in North Carolina in the Army, they had a radio that no technician could work, did not understand it. Tommy, at that time, might have been 20, 21 years old. And they told him that we have this radio. No one can work. That young man sat down and a few minutes time, that radio was working. They could use it. And whenever that radio went, Tommy Dickens went with it because he was the only man that was on that base in North Carolina that could operate it. A computer whiz, a mathematician beyond belief. But Tommy Dickens scrambled his brain with drugs. That's sad. But wait a minute. We're in the midst of a battle in the church that the devil wants to take away our knowledge of God and our knowledge of the Word of God. He doesn't want you to know that you're destined for the victory and the greatest victory that a man could ever have, a woman could ever have. He doesn't want you to know that you're destined for success in the Spirit of God, so he keeps you beat down. Listen to me, church. I believe it's time that we rise up in the Spirit of God and say, I'm going to be victorious. I'm destined to be a child of God. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Huh? God have mercy on us if we're too lazy to come to church. You say, you're preaching to those who are not here. Well, okay. You can believe that if you want to. You can pitch it back on them if you'd like. But this church is destined for victory. You know what our problem is? Now listen to me very closely. No, I'm not closing, so don't. What our problem is that we don't understand success the way God gives it. We think success is in the church is when the house is full. Huh? And we got plans for this and plans for that. We got so many, we don't know what we're going to do. That's not success to God. Success in the church is what people feel when they come through the doors and sit on these pews and kneel in these altars. Success is when a sinner comes through that door and can't sit there long enough and wait long enough for the altar call to be given, that they stand up in the midst of singing and walk to the altar and give their heart to God. That's a successful church. Huh? Listen to me, church. I believe this with all of my heart, that God has already given the former rain. You know the difference between the former and the latter rain? The former rain is that rain that comes before the crop is planted. Being from West Texas, I know what the need of rain is. But you let a rain come at the right time, that former rain. And you see farmers, buddy, they get those tractors and they get the planters on them. And they start filling up the planter boxes with cotton seed and peanut seed and everything else. They know they've got. Start putting seeds in the ground. I believe God has given us the former rain.
And I believe that God has already given a seed planted with that former rain. And I believe with all that's in me, the reason that the seed is laying dormant in the church today is because we haven't believed for the latter rain that comes and gets the crop up for us. It doesn't make me any difference how many First Baptists run in number. It doesn't make me any difference how many the Church of God or the Church of Christ run in number. But what I'm concerned about is the church where I am. God, we need a revival, and we don't need to win people from other congregations. We need to win lost souls. Come on and shout with me tonight. This church is not put here to transfer sheep from another church to this one, but we have altars. You know what they used to call these? Mourners' benches. Have you ever heard them call that? Mourners' benches. I was pastoring in a church one time, and the Baptist preacher said, "You know, Pastor, I've been around here for several years, and I've never seen the inside of Assembly of God Church here." I said, "Well, come on." And you know what the first thing that he saw? He stopped. When he started down the aisle there, he stopped. And in a broken voice, he said, "Thank God I see you still have the mourner's benches." I'm talking about First Baptist preacher. He said, "You still have the mourner's benches. And Pastor, don't ever let them take them out of your church." Amen. Somebody said they don't mean anything. Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. There's where the sacrifice is made to Christ. Can you shout with me tonight? There is where we lead sinners to a fountain filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Amen. There is where I found Christ at an altar in a church. Don't tell me there's no need for altars. Don't tell me there's no need in me living thinking that I'm not victorious, because I am victorious. I never pastored what they call a large church. As a matter of fact, I was reading statistics a few years ago, and they called a small church anything 500 and under. I thought, what would they call some of those churches I pastored? Micro churches? Mini churches? Really? I never preached to 500 people in my life that I remember. And we pastored 38 years. And some people might look at that and say, "Well, you never were very successful." Brother, I'd throw my chest out and say, "Oh, yes, I am, brother, because I'm still saved. I'm still filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm still destined for victory in Christ Jesus. What I once was, I'm not anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus." Raise your hands and shout glory to God.
Glory! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was going to general counsel one year. Matter of fact, the Wamplers and my wife and I went to general counsel. I believe it was in, we went to Minnesota. Minneapolis. We were standing in the airport in Dallas. Pastor came up to me and said, Brother Sheffield, I'd forgotten his name. Then Brother Wamper told me who he was. He said, where are you pastoring now, Brother Sheffield? I said, in Plains, Texas. Yeah? He said, how many people attend your service? Well, you know, on a good Sunday morning, we'd have 23 to 25. And of course, I didn't want to stretch it any, so I said, we run about 20. And he looked at me, 20? Yeah. But did you know what? I was flying on the same plane he is flying on. Sleeping in a bed just good as he is sleeping in a bed. Rented a car to drive around in. Went to all the same services he went to and had 20 people. And you know what? I wasn't successful in his eyes. I was the little guy. Hey, I don't mind being the little guy. Nobody pays you any mind. Only the Almighty God. Oh, but someday we're going to stand before God. And when God starts handing out rewards, he's not going to say, how big a church did you pastor? Where did you go? Did you ever preach overseas? Did you ever do this or that? But he's going to look at us through eyes of love, and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joys of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. And I believe I'm going to be one. And when I walk up to the throne of God and I view the Almighty God in Christ Jesus, I'm going to pull the crown off my head and throw it at his feet and worship him like the Word said. I'm going to cast my crown at his feet, saying, you're worthy. It doesn't mean a thing to me. Doesn't mean a thing to me, God. It doesn't mean a thing to me. I'm in your presence now. I'm destined for victory in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm not planning on perishing. John 3:16 said, I didn't have to perish. Said, I don't have to perish. Why? Because Jesus came and died for me, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. So therefore, I don't have to perish. I have life everlasting. Can you shout amen? I'll say again, if you're saved and know it, say amen. Time is it? What time is it? I'm hurrying. Aren't you glad you're not predestined to be certain things? Huh? Now, I don't know. There may be some people that hear this evening that think they are predestined to be certain things in God, but you're not. You're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, baptized in the Holy Ghost, but God hasn't predestined you to be anything but his child. Do you know that Judas Iscariot wasn't predestined to do what happened, to do what he did? He's just like you and I. He had a choice, and he made that choice. But he wasn't predestined to do what he did. Oh, somebody said the scripture said, but there's a devil among you. But he didn't point Judas as the devil. God didn't say, I'll make a man to be the one that sells him out. No, 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 no. His destiny could have been as of any of the other followers of Jesus. Your destiny can be as like anyone else's that knows Jesus Christ tonight. Jesus was passing through a city one time. A little old tax collector climbed up in a tree. He said, I'm going to see that Jesus. I'm going to see that man. He's a little bitty guy. So he climbed up in that tree, and as Jesus passed by, so let me tell you, if you'll make an effort to see Jesus, he'll stop the crowd. He'll stop everybody and say, come on, come on, I'm going home with you today. Isn't that what he told that man? He wasn't predestined to be a tax collector. Do you understand what I'm saying? He wasn't predestined to be an outcast of society. But I believe after he got saved, after he met Jesus Christ, he returned everything that he took and he done it fourfold like he said he would. And I believe he became a member of First Assembly of God wherever he lived. And what he did, people take note of and they liked him. They liked him after he met Jesus. I believe the talk of the town was, didn't you believe that guy? He used to cheat me all the time. Now he gives me a break. Yeah. That's what Jesus does for you. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't predestined to be blind. You see how you know that? Because he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus was passing by and he said, boy, if I do anything, I got to get his attention. Let me tell you, Jesus is passing by First Assembly, and if there's anything you need to do, you need to get his attention tonight and say, here am I, Lord. Lord, I want an audience with you today. I need to hear from you. I need to slip up under your wing. I need to be guided and directed by your Spirit. Oh. But they said, Bartimaeus, be quiet. He didn't sit down like a little wimp either. But the scripture said he cried even the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And after a while, Jesus heard him, and the scripture said Jesus stood still. I hear some man calling for me over there. And Jesus said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. He stood up and pulled an old garment off and started to Jesus. I believe somebody tried to help him. He said, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I know where I'm going. I don't know about you, but I know where Jesus is. I know where to touch him today. Amen. It's not in the things of the world, but it's in the house of God. It's in the mourners' benches in the church. Came to Jesus. Jesus said, Bartimaeus, what would you have me do for thee? Bartimaeus said, oh Lord, that I might receive my sight. Like just see, he was healed. Come on, I said he was healed. When you get in your heart the things of God above everything else, Jesus is going to call for you and say, come on. Come on, I've got it for you. I've got it for you. All you got to do is come and tell me what you want. And I'm a Jesus that will meet your needs. Thank God, thank God. Let me tell you something. Your flesh is not destined to failure. Your flesh is not destined to hell, but it's destined for victory in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Success. is not the size of your bank account. It's not your standing in society. It's not your religious affiliation. Am I right? It's not your degrees of education. It's not your number in church attendance. Success is measured by your spirituality. And when you open the doors on this church Sunday morning, oh, it'd be wonderful. It'd be the greatest sight in the world. If your pastor pulled up here Sunday morning, the parking lot was already full and people are standing in line for him to lock the door. Huh? You say, but brother, I have to do this and I have to do that. That's why you need revival and don't have it. Come on, I'm not being ugly with you. I just want to tell you the truth. Am I preaching on overtime? Lord, Brother Walter, you have doubled my offering. I'm just preaching on and on and on. Success is only as we follow God. Don't judge by what you see, but judge a righteous judgment. And when you judge a righteous judgment, you see that that person, old things have passed away in their life. They've become new. They're a new creature. You look at them and say, not long ago, the church where my wife's sister and her husband lives elected a new pastor. Their pastor retired. He had been there 22 years. And Brother Poltrack is a man my age, a little bit older. And they elected a man 29 years old. And of course, some of the older people in the church said, I don't like his ideas. My, he hadn't even moved to Austin yet. And they don't like his ideas. They don't like the way he does things. But you know what happened? Before he ever got moved, you know what that same man told my brother-in-law? You know, that old boy's done a 180-degree turn, Waddy, when he came here. I said, dear Lord, he hadn't even had time to shave yet, and you think he's already on turn to your side. But that's what praying and seeking God will do in your life. People you don't like, you can't stand to be around. No wonder you can't go to church with them. I would prefer that they didn't even go to church here. They may feel the same about you. Isn't that sad? But you know what'll happen? A trip to the altar will open your eyes. No, I'm not talking about coming down here and telling God what you want and what you need and God take care of them that and take care of this. But what God wants you to do is make a trip to the altar of repentance. For what I said to your pastor before church, I want to say to you before I close this evening is this. Revival doesn't bring repentance. Repentance brings revival. You're awful quiet. You want revival in this church? You need to repent. I want revival where I'm at? I need to repent. Brother, I don't mind going to the church where we attend and see Grace First Assembly. And I don't mind getting there at my place where I pray and cry out to God and repent. I don't care who hears me.
I don't care if they think I'm backslid. Doesn't make me any difference at all. As long as I stay in communication with God, that's what's important. Is that your heart's cry this evening? Then God is extending an opportunity to you right now. Would you make it a point to come to the altar? And would you make it a point that when you come, you don't ask God for anything, just a time of repentance to God? Would you do that? Huh? Who's going to be the first to start here tonight? I think it ought to be 100%. I'm not saying you're backslid, and that's not what God's saying. But I believe we're saying, God, this is what we want. We want revival in the church. We want a turnaround in the church today, and God can give it. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Lord, Lord,